just wanted to finish up some things about the Gimel. We talked about the Vilna Gaon briefly, that Haman planned Lahashmid, Laharoig, Laabed, Ushlom Lavois, to destroy, to kill, to make them lost, and plunder their belongings. And he explained that Lahashmid means to destroy the Neshama, to tear them away from mitzvahs. Laharoig is to kill them. La'abed is to destroy the bodies. That's really total annihilation. Ushlom Lavois, because as long as their property would be around, some people would point to a talus, a tefillin, oh, this was a Jew's item. And he wanted to obliterate their memory. And we got four mitzvahs, you know, in place of those four things, which Baruch Hashem never happened. Chazdei Hashem never happened. We got four mitzvahs, which parallel them, Kriyas Megillah, the mitzvah of Simcha, the one is not allowed to have a eulogy or a fast on Purim, is a chiyuv of Simcha. Mishta is that we have a chiyuv to have a suda which includes the drinking of wine, and Matanos Lavienim. That's the four parallels. Kriyas Megillah is connected to the mitzvahs. He wanted to rip us away from the mitzvah. Hashem added on a mitzvah. Simcha. So Simcha is life. Simcha is life. That's obvious. Simcha is living in a totally different level. Let's put it that way. Some of that's batzvus, some of that's broken is not really alive. Life is Simcha. Or is the rule of tzaddik, liyishu live Simcha. Lasad lavai, when we live forever, we will also be b'simcha forever. Ein adam shar shira elamitayp simcha v'tov leivav. One can only attain the level of shira. It's an uplifting of the spirit from a mitzvah simcha. When Shaul HaMelech wanted to arrive at a level of prophecy, so he had David HaMelech play for him to uplift his mood. Simcha is life. Kiyadua. And Mishta is we feed the body. So instead of the body being chopped up, Chas V'Shalom, so we feed the body and we make it stronger. We fortify it. But tell us of Yonim is things were taken. The plan was for our belongings to be taken away from us, and that we would be bereft of all our belongings. Matanos Lavienim is that we take and we share so that everybody has. So that's a unique insight into Matanos Lavienim. Matanos Lavienim is because you want everyone to have, that no one should be plundered on Purim. Because poor people are the same as plundered people. We don't want anyone to be in a state of plunder, because that was Haman's goal. The Vilna Gaon adds the Haman had a clause. There was a clause in the directions, in the instructions. Yishlom Lavois, it was in that order. First, they have to rip them away from the mitzvahs, kill them, and destroy their bodies, and only then are they permitted to take from the plunder. A normal war is not fought like that. They plunder and fight at the same time, simultaneously. They're fighting, they're pillaging, they're doing what they do in wars. And they see something, they grab it, and it's theirs, and they don't put it off till later. No one puts it off till later. But Haman made it a directive that no one's allowed to touch anything until the job is done. And this is for obvious reasons. It's for two reasons. First of all, they won't get distracted. You know, if they're about to annihilate someone, chas v'shalom, and then they see something precious nearby, then they'll pause for a moment and the guy can escape. And also, this way they'll do it quicker, because the quicker they kill everyone, this is the second reason. They'll be mizaris, and the quicker they do it, then the quicker they get to split things up. So this is just testimony to Haman's total rishus. He wasn't leaving any loopholes. He didn't want a single one to escape. Pasuk Yud Dalet. Hashegan Aksav, the contents of the writ. The Aksav is the written document. Hashegan is the contents. It's probably not found anywhere else but here. It's a very rare word. Rashi says it's not Hebrew. It's Aramaic. We'll get back to that, but the very choice of an Aramaic word tells us something. There's a reason why an Aramaic word is being used here. We'll get back to it. Pashag and Aksav, the contents of the writ, of the written decree, Linasein Das, that the law should be placed or extended b'chol Medina Medina throughout each and every province. Golil l'chol Amim, there should be a revelation to all the nations. What's the revelation? Lias Asidim Liam Azeh, they should be destined. This day is a day of destiny. Asid. They should be prepared. It's a day of destiny. There's something about that day. And it's vague. It's vague. Gavon Gaon says that there were two sets of written documents, two sets of instructions. It's obvious that you can't publicize such a thing 11 months in advance. It just gives the Jews too much of a chance for countermeasures. As ironclad as it was, knowledge is dangerous for Haman's plan. They'll find out about it, people might have compassion on them, they'll build cellars, who knows, they could use influence against the king. Who knows? Like, Haman didn't want to deal with it. He didn't want to deal with the unknown. So on the one hand, he wanted his plan to be implemented and he needed people to be in place. On the other hand, he didn't want them to know. There'd be panic, anarchy, all kinds of things. So he had a two-stage plan. He wanted people to be ready. He wanted maybe even for them to figure it out. Like if they thought about it, they'd probably be able to figure it out. So what he did was to the leaders, to the governors, the tyrants, you know, the petty tyrants, the satraps. So he sent them clear instructions. Exactly what the plan is. But that's not enough because they have to, you know, garner support and make arrangements. So the general public, there was a general letter. It was a general letter saying that on the 13th day of Adar, everyone is supposed to be ready. For what? They're supposed to be ready. And then the Pasuk is Meduya, because that's what the Pasuk says. It says in the Pasuk, Golu l'chol ha'amim. It says, Pashag n'aksav. The meaning of the written document, Linas and Das Pachal Medina Medina. There's a law in each and every Medina. It doesn't say what the law is. Comma. Golu l'chol ha'amim. But what's to be revealed to all the nations, so that it does tell you, Lias Asidim L'Yom Hazeh, supposed to be destined and ready for that day. So the first part of the Pasuk is referring to the letters that were written to the leaders. And the Pasuk doesn't tell us what's in it. And the second one is what's revealed, and it tells us exactly the words. It tells us word for word, verbatim, what's in there. Be ready. Now in those days, when there was a proclamation to the king, to the entire country, to be ready, they had a good idea what it meant. There was no one to delude themselves into thinking that there's going to be an art exhibit on that day, or a carnival.
Would the Jews also try to be ready for
the Jews will be ready to get killed out.
No, but
there's two things. When these kind of things went out, it meant one thing. Someone's doing a beating and someone's going to get a beating. This was the society. I mean, maybe nowadays we don't relate to this. But that's all they did in those days was kill people. It was a non-ending series of wars with very little peace in between. You have a royal decree coming out, be ready. That means they take out their crowbars and their clubs and they're ready. Just show me where. Just put me in the right direction. And when somebody gets beaten, it's usually the Jews. Heard of a Greenwald speech on the significance of the pagan origins of New Year's Day. That was a holiday, but Christians was kill the Jews. That was their holiday. It wasn't that they had a holiday and they happened to get drunk and they killed the Jews. Hey, let's celebrate. Okay, what are we going to do? We're going to kill Jews. So this was something, it was a subtle way of getting the message, but it allows people to delude themselves. Remember how Rabbi Zweig spoke about self-delusion? Spoke about fooling oneself and self-delusion. I mean, he applied it to Shibud Mitzrayim.
It's the same thing, really.
It's mamish the same thing. And it would have worked for one thing. There's a God in this world. It would have worked. Everything about Haman's plan, if you base it on the rules of Derech HaTeva and even the spiritual Keiches HaTumah, and you know, the Keichavim, there was no loophole, there was no way out. We're dead. The Hatzalah was above and beyond any of those Keiches. If the Jews don't know about it, they can't even use their secret weapon. The secret weapon is tshuva. They can't use tshuva. They can't bring out the tshuva. They don't even know about it. You know, Yonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. Why? Because he'll go. They'll know about it to do tshuva. If he doesn't go, they won't know about it. They won't do tshuva. Then they're going to die. Haman didn't want them to know about it. And this is one of the reasons why he didn't want them to do tshuva. Haman was with that program. He wanted to do tshuva. So that's why it says Pasheg and Aksav. Pasheg and Aksav means the meaning of the written decree. There was the written decree and then there was the meaning. The first part of the pasuk is talking about the meaning. That was sent out to the rulers. Pashegin. That's the Vilna Gaon. Now, I understand. I just want to add something to the Vilna Gaon's pshat. That is probably the reason why it uses an Aramaic word for the word content, the meaning of the written word. Why can't we use the word, a Hebrew word for it? Why are we using an Aramaic word to convey that there was a hidden meaning? And that's because the only real language that exists is Lashon Kodesh. Lashon Kodesh was the language. It is the one and only language. Kadosh Baruch Hu brought the animals in front of Adam Rishon and he named them with Lashon Kodesh. A lion is an Aryeh, it's not just called an Aryeh. There's something about the combination of the letters Aleph, Resh, Yud, and Hey that is the lion. If we knew the secrets of the Aleph base, if we had never seen a lion before in our lives, but we knew the secrets of the Aleph base, if someone would tell us about an animal that's called an Aryeh, Aleph, Resh, Yud, Hey, we'd be able to construct a lion based on the letters alone. And if you're privy to the depths of the sidus of an Aryeh, you could look at a lion and you could determine which Hebrew letters it is. And that's what Amarishim did. It is a medrash. Amarishim did it. All other languages are not languages. They're not the essence of the thing. They're just ways we refer to it. We refer to it. You can make up your own language. You can take like the small feline creature that drinks milk and call it a dog. And you could have a successful society based on it. If something is good, what do we say? Oh, this is really sick. That's just as legitimate as the word. As legitimate as the word is good. Because the good is what came out of the caveman's mouth when he decided, oh, good. So we say sick, he says good. It's just a way of referring to things. Lashon Kodesh is the real thing. Aramaic is sort of a hybrid. I mean, we don't have the time to go into it. It's a very, very intriguing language. It's like a bridge because it does have a lot of Lashon Kodesh in it. But Aramaic is a commentary. It's a pirish. It's not the actual thing. So if you have a written document, that it says one thing, but it means something else. So I find it highly appropriate that when the pasuk is referring to that meaning, it uses an Aramaic word. Because that's what Aramaic is. It's only meanings. So that's, I'm saying that's probably the reason. I'm not sure. The Vilna Gaon doesn't say it, but, you know.
So it would be better to say something else like Persian. Aramaic is only partial.
There's a limit to how much I could take this. You know what I mean? Yeah, I know. You could say it in English.
So Aramaic is a connection language. It's like something.
It has elements
Russian
of both.
Like
you know, it's Russian Kurdish. There's a lot of olives and onions in it.
So would that be the bridge between that and regular languages?
It's sort of like a bridge language. It's a language when you have to express things by description instead of by the actual meaning. And it's also the language of the Keiches HaRa, according to Aramaic. When a riot, it's the language of the dark side. Yaakov and Lavan make a pile of stones to act as a bris, a covenant between them that they won't attack one another. And Yaakov calls it Gal Eid, a pile of stones that's a witness. Gal means a pile of stones, Eid means a witness. And Lavan calls it Yigar Sahadusa. Vanaraya. To the role of Aramaic.
We're learning them.
And then we learn Gemara in Aramaic because we are taking the dark parts, the dark languages, and we are bringing it back to the side of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the ultimate. If you wonder why we learn Gemara in Aramaic, because that's the ultimate in fixing up this world, is to take the language which is utilized by the powers that be that want to rip us away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we use that language to bring us close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I can't go into this right now. Seder? Seder? Seder. The Rekeach has a remez here. The pasuk says, "Lehi nasein das bechal medina," that the law should be set in all the provinces. So that's what Haman wanted. Haman wanted that he should win and the Jews should lose. He should be alive and they should, Chas v'shalom, not be alive. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu did v'nahafachu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, he turned things around. He takes the word Lehinasein Das Bechal Medina, takes the first two letters of the word Lehinasein, that's Lamed Hey. Takes the last letter of Das, that's Tough. The last letter of Bechal, that's Lamed. Last letter of Medina. And forms the word, I'm sorry, let's do this again. He takes,
who is this?
This is the Rekeach. He takes the Lamed Hey Tav of the word Lehinasein.
Lamed Hey Nun?
Lamed Hey Tav of Lehinasein. Lamed Hey Tav. He takes the last letter of Das. The last letter of Bechal. The last letter of Medina. So it's Lamed Hey Tav. Then another Tav, a Lamed and a Hey. And that makes the word Lehitalos. So Lamed Hey Tav of Lehinasein. Das, the last letter is Tav. Bechal is Lamed. Medina is Hey. So that's in order, that's Lamed Hey Tav, 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 Lamed Hey. If you mix it around, it's Lehitalos, that means to be hung. You take the letters that are left of the word Lehinasein. After you take the Lamed Hey Tav out of it, and you have two nuns, which means that in the end he's going to be hung on a gallows, which is 50 yams high.
How come you need two heys for Lehitalos? It's only one hey in Lehitalos.
I don't know.
This is very.
The Rekeach is a remez. He has a remez in almost every single pasuk. The Haman's going to be hung by a gallows. It's 50 yams high. Lehitalos nun.
So wait a second. How do you get the nun here again? I'm sorry. What letters did you learn?
What?
What did you get rid of in exchange?
The Lamed Hey Tav and the Lehinasein. You get rid of? There's two nuns left.
Lamed Hey Tav, you get rid of, and what do you get?
You have two nuns left.
Why do you need two nuns?
What do you have nun?
Oh, Lehinasein.
You get rid of it.
Yes.
Oh.
Well, you use it to make the word Lehitalos.
Oh, isn't he two nuns?
You could ask me the kash in the last one, as I said, from Rekeach.
I have a lot of kashas in the Rekeach.
Okay. A kesef.
And Lehi Talos is to hang.
And then there's two nuns left, and a gal is at 50 yamas high.
And where's the nuns are from the pasuk?
Lehi Nasein.
But you only need one nuns in 50 yamas high.
You know, it's Akasha and Aramis.
I am completely confused, Rabbi.
I'll explain to you later.
What do we get? We're getting rid of Lehit Talois?
No, you take the Lamed Hei Tav and you put it aside.
Yeah.
You combine it with the last letters of Das Bechal Medina. That gives you Lehit Talois. Now you still have two nuns left over.
What you going to do with the nuns?
Does it really bother you?
I'm trying. I lost the two nuns. I don't even know where I got the nuns from. I don't remember you ever saying that you get rid of the nuns.
I'll have to explain it to you later, Mirta Shem. Let's go weiter.
All right.
Pasuk. Pasuk. Tesvav. Haratzim yetzer dechufim. The runners went out. Dechufim means that they were pushed. They were pressed. You ever see on... You ever see on a door, it says dechof. That means push. They were pressured. Haman pressured them. They pushed them out. B'dvar HaMelech, by the word of the king, because Haman had the signet ring. V'adas nitna b'shushan abira, and the law was nitna. Adas nitna b'shushan abira. The law was implemented in Shushan Abira. V'amelech v'haman yashvu l'shtois, and the king and Haman they sat down to drink. V'ayir Shushan Navaicha, and the city of Shushan was in a state of Navaicha. Navaicha has more than one meaning. It could mean confusion. Navaicha, Navuchim heim b'midbar. When the Bnei Yisrael went out in the desert, when they left. Yes, it means to be lost. That's one meaning. Navaicha means that they were lost, confused. So Rashi explains, because since Shushan was the seat of the government, so then the law was implemented in Shushan immediately. It had to spread. It took time to spread to the other provinces. But the law was known in Shushan, so there was an immediate reaction.
It's not clear,
the Vilna Gaon says that only a select few of the Jews should be killed. The Rashi that I quoted from doesn't necessarily learn like that. It could be the Rashi learns that they should be killed. See, there's different ways that the Mefarshim deal with this information. For Rashi, it's mashma that it was clear. It was clear that the Jews should be killed.
It made sense according to the Pshat.
What?
It didn't say what it was, or that they were lost.
Yeah, well, if you held it, they knew. On the Vayikra, they were confused. So there's a number of Mefarshim on why they had to rush them out. They had 11 months. It was Nisan. The Gzera was set for Yud Gimel Adar. They had 11 months. It doesn't take all that long. A few weeks, a few months. It doesn't take all that long. What's the rush? So you could attribute it to enthusiastic zeal. Like you could do that. And that's probably the push-up shot. That he wanted to do it way in advance because he just had to do it. You know, once it's decided, he had to do it. But there's deeper things going, running beneath the surface. And some of them are good for them, and some of them are good for us. There's a commentary on Megillas Esther written by a Rav Gallico, G-A-L-I-C-O, an Italian scholar of Gallico, wrote a commentary on Megillas Esther. He says, how it pushed a tactic, because Haman knew that Achashverosh was fickle. And he didn't want Achashverosh to change his mind. Once they went out, then he can't change his mind.
But he couldn't change his mind.
Doesn't matter. There's always, you never say never. Yes, you could. There's always a way. Listen, the Jews managed. They did manage in the end. Yeah, so he didn't change his mind. They sent out a second set of swarm. In the end, they found a way around it.
It's only Haman. He could just kill Haman and change his mind. No one would know that he ever did it.
Even better. I'm for that.
Once he puts it out.
They don't want to take, you know, there's always a way. Even when there's no way, there's always a way. So he wanted them out. Once they go out, then it's over. You know, once you click send on the email, you can't get it back. You know that. You know that. You better make up your mind before you click send. It's gone. It went. So he sent them out. He also says that there's another thing. Homer was very cruel. And he wanted them to suffer for 11 months. That's the second reason. Let them suffer. Let them know there's a sword over their head. Let them die in pain. Let them lose their will to live. Let them cry and wail and beat their breasts and rip their clothes and bash their heads against the wall. He enjoyed it. This is like part of the destruction, is that they should be destroyed and they should know about it. He didn't want to destroy them. He wants to, you know, he wants to see the fear in their eyes. This is Haman. This is the ultimate enemy. There's nothing. He won't give it. He won't give the Jews anything. Total extermination. Destroy their will, destroy everything, and destroy their bodies. That's what he says. But of course, you know, that's just on the surface. What was the real reason why they were sent out? So I saw two interesting pshatim. The Alchemy Amleis says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give Klal Yisrael a chance to do tshuva. Pasha. They had 11 months to do tshuva. Haman, he was using it as a form of cruelty, and this planned cruelty turned against Haman. It turned against him. Had Haman waited, the Alchemy Amleis says that had Haman waited, he would have held on to it until right before the plan was going to be implemented, then the level of tshuva that was required would not have been attained. He wouldn't have done it. They wouldn't have done it.
Does the number 11 represent anything?
As a matter of fact, it does.
Yeah,
gosh.
Is that
11? 11 is Esav's number. It's not bad. That's not a bad comment.
What's the number 11?
It's Esav's number.
How's 11 Esav's number?
It has to do with the man and the sea that come from him. It's Esav's number. That's definitely a point.
Why he picked it?
Well, that's what Yonah said. That's something which we could. I'd like to look into more. It would definitely jive with Haman's fascination with numbers.
You need to have it specifically though. Yeah. So that would explain the rush as well.
That would explain
to make it exactly 11 months.
Yeah, that's what I thought you said. That's what I understood you said. But the Yaakov said they wouldn't have not the Yidden wouldn't have done Shuvah. Because Shmuel did a chesed by using Haman's cruelty. Hashem used Haman's cruelty to save the Jewish people. And that's awesome. And that's the whole Megillah is like that. The Rambam going to tell us another insight into this. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, the plan was that the Jews should be saved. Now, even though you can't retrieve the original Svarim, and the original Edict cannot be canceled out, but you could send out the Svarim. There's an inbuilt problem with that. If the entire country gets farmed to kill out the Jews, and then the entire country gets farmed not to kill out the Jews, so then there's an inbuilt flaw with that. People will choose to disregard the second farm, and they'll say, listen, I only know from the first farm. The second farm, they look funny to me. Looks like that signature is forged. I don't like it, you know. Or the king here make up his mind, so I'm going to do what I want. Well, that might mitigate the effects, but it's not going to totally eliminate it. It's not a foolproof way of averting the massacre. So what's a foolproof way of doing it? Foolproof way of doing it is if you have the same messengers that deliver the first set, are the same, you know, if they're the same people, the same representatives deliver the second set, then you can't. There's no room to maneuver. You can't say that it's forged and somebody else sent it out. The guy says, "Yeah, I know. I was just here 3 months ago, and the winds of change have wafted across the palace grounds, and now now they're serving bagels and lox by the presidential breakfast, and they're letting him over in the palace. You know, and you better watch out." Now, the only way that could happen is if the people that were sent out have time enough to come back. So the Vilna Gaon says, even though Haman had ample time, he could have waited a few months and he could have sent them out and they would have gotten there to the destination by Yud Gimel Nisan or a month before or however long, but they wouldn't have gotten back to Mordechai and Esther so that they could use them again to send them with the new set of letters. So it was Min HaShemayim that Haman, these pshatim, they fit together. The Haman was fit with the he's filled with the sadism that he wanted them to suffer and he didn't want them to have the opportunity to sway Achashverosh's heart. And that gufa turned against him because it gave the Jews a chance to do tshuva. That's, you know, that brought about that tzala. And it also gave them the tools to avert the killing by providing them with the wherewithal to use the same messengers. So everything that Haman did.
But didn't they send quicker messengers in the poem to retract?
It wasn't quicker messengers. It was the same messengers which they lit a fire under their feet. It was not quicker messengers. It was the same ones, and they made them go very, very fast. Much faster. Yeah, time is of the essence. Yeshushan Navaika. The Yeshushan was Navaika. I guess we'll start with Hamela Vahaman Yashvilishtois. They sat down to drink. Now that's very callous, and it's very much in character. That right away, you know, they just signed a death warrant on an entire nation, and they're sitting down to drink. I mean, the altar of Kelm pointed out that was what the Torah finds prominent to show us about Mechiras Yosef. That right after they sold him, the brothers sat down to eat bread. That's something which is a chasaron. And Haman and Achashverosh shared this chasaron. That right after they did it, they sat down to drink. What? But the Alchemy Amleya said that Haman also had a hidden agenda. And Haman had hidden agendas in every one of his hidden agendas. There was nothing kosher with him. He wanted to get Achashverosh drunk so that Achashverosh would be in a besotted state and he wouldn't be able to change his mind. So he got him drunk on purpose. That's what the Yalkut says.
It was right after, so he couldn't change his mind anyway.
Again, there's all kinds of ways you could change your mind. You could call out the royal guard and protect the Jews. There's all kinds of ways to change your mind. It's difficult, but you could do it. And he didn't want to take chances, so he got him drunk.
Normally, what's a person supposed to do when they kill someone?
Feel bad about it. Feel bad. The issue is on Navaicha. Navaicha. The Sherish Navaicha did. The Sherish Navaicha is Bechi. Bechi means to cry. So if that's what it means over here, it's quite understandable why it says Navaicha is that they were crying. The city was crying. Yeah, but the city is the Jews. They're the only thing in the city that's worth anything. According to that interpretation, it means the most prominent members of the city. Yeshushan Navaicha. The most prominent members of the city of Shushan, the only value that there is in Shushan was crying. Bechi. But the word Navaicha also means confused. And they're related. Because one of the, you know, the one thing that brings on crying is a state of confusion. That's when things aren't clear. That's when you don't see how you're going to get, when I shouldn't say you, but when someone, Rachmanson, doesn't see how they're going to get out of something, they cry. Crying comes from frustration. If we would understand what death is, we wouldn't cry over it. We cry over death, Le'aleinu, because death confuses us. There's a Hester upon him in every death. His crying was definitely on a higher level than our crying. I don't know if we could understand what it was, but there's a Hester upon him in every crying. There's something that you're not seeing. I mean, it wasn't as basic as that he's missing her, although that was there as well. But it's deeper than that, but there's Hester upon him. Anyone in this world is going to have something that they can't see. And it's going to cause crying. So Bechi and Navaicha do have this link. But if you're gonna define the word as Navaicha, that there was confusion. So the Mayam Leia says that the Jews were, at the receipt of these letters, the Jews were wailing. They were moaning and wailing and screaming and crying and beating themselves. And the other inhabitants of the city were partying. Hey, let's go. The Jews are going to get it beaten, you know? Hey. So the Navoika is the way the city appeared to anyone that would, an outsider that would come to the city. He'd see simultaneously rejoicing and brokenheartedness and laughter and revelry with crying, and it's just like, that's confusing. Ishan Navaika is the city was giving dual messages. It's Navaika. It's Navaik. It's the whole city. Navaika. There's a medrash on this pasuk. The medrash obviously interprets what Navaika is crying. There's people lost their will to live. There's a death sentence over everyone. And they were just, from their anguish, they just didn't care. And there was all kinds of tragedies. There were women that they would lean out the window to hang up the laundry, and they'd fall and die. And people wouldn't look where they're going, and they'd fall to pits, to burrs, and they would die. So the whole city was crying. Push pshat. I want to start Paragdal Pasuk Aleph. So there seems to be a difference of opinion among the Mefarshim how much the Jews knew, how much anyone knew. Like the Vilna Gaon said, they knew almost absolutely nothing. But even like Rashi's Pshat would sound, or the Midrashim, Rashi and the Midrashim would sound like the Jews knew. But not all of them knew. And it could be that if they knew something was up, they didn't know everything. According to all opinions, there's some level of the things that are being kept from them. They might have known of the decree. They didn't know why Hashem was angry with them. But there's always what?
Only Shushan was the Bechus. Maybe
only it took
Shushan
time to spread.
Knew,
yeah.
And the other.
No, it took time to spread. That's what Rashi says. It took time. You know, Shushan knew immediately. But there's a consensus that there's something that wasn't known. Even if they knew all the details of the plan, but they didn't know why Hashem did this to them. I mean, that's the ultimate mystery. And the pasuk says, Mordechai yada, but Mordechai did know. There's one individual that did know. He knew everything. He knew everything that no one knew. He knew it. Mordechai yada is kol asher nasa. He knew everything that was done. We'll talk about the past tense of the word nasa, past tense. He knew everything that was done. Vayikra Mordechai is begadav. He ripped his clothing. He adorned himself, he clothed himself with sackcloth, it's rough clothing, like the Anshei Nineveh, it's velus, ve'efer, and dust, ashes, and he went out in the middle of the city, and he cried out, a great, mighty, bitter cry.
He moved away from the gates.
Right.
He was crying since already before.
So the Targum says, we'll tell you Rashi today's show. We have to stop soon. Rashi says, how did Mordechai know? And what did he know? How did he know and what did he know? Rashi said that there's a Mamun, an appointed one on high, in charge of dreams. It's called the Baal HaKalom, the one in charge of dreams. He came to Mordechai and he told him that this Gzera is not Haman's Gzera, it's not Achashverosh's Gzera, it's a Gzera from Shemayim. Why? Two things. Number one is in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, they were commanded to bow down to his Avodah Zarah, and they did, except for three people, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. The entire Klai shall bow down to the Avodah Zarah and Nebuchadnezzar to save their lives. And also Achashverosh invited them to his Suda, and they enjoyed the Suda. They enjoyed the Suda. They partook of the Suda, and they enjoyed the Suda. And because of this, there was a Gzardin and all of Klal Yisrael to be destroyed. That's the Targum's chat. That's the